For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, September the 3rd, 1993. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Walter Fletcher is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. We're coming very near the time when God is wrapping up in this time frame, His purposes. How many of you have felt some of those travailing in the Spirit? Some of us don't like travail. And of course, if you ever asked any of these mothers who've had children, there's no birth without travail. Amen? Sometimes we want to avoid the pain and the process. There can't be a deliverance. There can't be a manifestation. There can't be any birthing if there's no travail. Amen? Some of us have realized that God has impregnated us with something that has not been of this world. Hello, somebody. Amen. I mean, you know, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking last night, and I still feel in my spirit this morning, that God has brought you and I together as a people over this conference time because God is about finishing the work that He's begun. I believe the hammer and the chisel and the axe and the file is beginning to be heard in the house of the Lord again. It seemed for a while that there was nothing happening. Amen? But how many of you know this calm before the storm is the wind of the Spirit of God beginning to blow once again in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? See, the world looks around and says the church is going under, but God said it's not going under, they're going over. Amen? As it was in the days of Noah, how many of you know when the rains came down, the ark just went up? Hello? Praise the Lord. And I believe in the time when the rains of confusion, perplexity, and all sorts of things. We've never seen the flood that the enemy has put out. We've never seen it like this day in this generation. I don't know about you, but I have very little use for the so-called news, the news broadcast and everything. Amen? It's just a flood of filth and a flood of lies. Amen? And the deceit and the violence and crime. And we already have read the book. Amen. How many of you know this is the news ahead of the news? Amen. Have you read the end of the book? We win in the end. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants the people that are overcomers in this life. Amen. Well, I don't need to overcome once I've got over there. I have overcome. Amen. But I need to be an overcomer in this life. I want you to go with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. And I want to read a few verses there. And then I want to also read over in Proverbs 24. But let's just get started. I feel God's going to have us just do a little teaching this morning. If I get a little preachy, don't blame me. Oh, did I hear amen?
Amen.
Proverbs and the 9th chapter. And I want to begin at verse 1. Are you there? Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom have builded her house. She have hewn out her 7 pillars. She have killed her beast. She have mingled her wine. She have also furnished her table. She have sent forth her maidens, and she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 24:3, it says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding is it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Through wisdom is a house builded. And I want to talk to you this morning concerning the fact that wisdom is building a house. Wisdom is building a house. Now, we read over in Proverbs 9 that wisdom calleth out. She's preparing her table. She's mingling her wine. She's getting things ready. And she's looking for those who will respond to her invitation. Amen. And how many of you know God is sending out a cry in all the earth to those who respond to the invitation that His table is spread? How many of you know the sacrifice has already been made? Amen?
Amen.
One sacrifice, Hebrews tells us, and He sat down forever. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. But there's a call going out in all the earth where God is bringing the people together. He's not just bringing them to a banqueting table of plenty, because how many of you know that there have been times past, our brother Jack last night mentioned the fact that the children of Israel, they all ate of the same food, they drank of the same drink, but some of them died in the wilderness. I want to tell you that God is doing more than setting a banqueting table before us that we might eat, drink, and rise up to play. He wants the people who are part of the house. Amen. You see, a servant doesn't remain in the house forever, but a son does. Hello? Because a son has a relationship to the house because he knows who the father is. Amen. How many of you know the story that Jesus tells of the prodigal had two prodigals in it? The one that hit the door with his inheritance and the one who stayed home with it. But neither one of them had a right relationship to the father. Amen. The prodigal that hit the door, you know, he was honest. He did what he wanted to do and finally hit a wall, as you will too if you leave father's house. Hello, somebody. I mean, he squandered all of his living, but here's the revelation he got. My father's servants are living better than I'm living.
All right.
Not only that, even though the father divided the inheritance equally among them, the father says when the prodigal gets back home, all that I have is thine.
Right.
What a mystery.
Yeah.
He gives it all away and yet he loses none.
Yeah.
But the revelation the prodigal had that had left the home was that if there's anything I need, father has it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And so he comes back home with that revelation of the father. Now, When the older son, who hadn't hit the door, you know, he wanted to. He just didn't do what his mind dictated. Amen.
Right.
He couldn't celebrate with the fact when the prodigal came home because he heard the music and the dancing and the fatted calf had been slain. But I want you to see that the celebration was in the house.
Yes,
and the older son could not celebrate because he had a problem with father.
Yes.
He was the dutiful son. He had done all for the father, but there wasn't a being in relationship. I believe God is looking for people who understand that all the doing you can do is wonderful as far as that. You won't lose your reward, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. But God isn't looking for a people merely who will do for Him, but a people who will be in relationship to Him. Amen? So wisdom is building your house. It takes wisdom to build a house. I asked a brother who was a contractor and a builder just to make sure I had my facts right. Some can draw and read a blueprint. How many of you know that? Some have the gift to draw and read a blueprint. Some can find and gather the materials for the house. But it takes a special skill. It takes wisdom and experience to put the house up. Amen? Let me use another illustration. I'm not a mechanic. I couldn't work on a car if my life depended on it. Ask my wife. I tell her when the car breaks down, honey, you're the best man for the job. Now, I might be able to gather all the parts. You could give me a list and tell me what I need to gather, but when it comes to putting it all together, I don't have the wisdom or the skill, amen, to do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
And it's true in the things of the kingdom of God. Wisdom, it needs wisdom to put a thing together. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." That's how God did it, by wisdom. By wisdom, He hath founded the earth. There's the creation in the creation order. God, by wisdom, founded the earth. But I remind you also, Paul, in speaking, I'd like you to go there with me, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Verse 10 and 11. Now, I'm going to share some things that are familiar to some and not familiar to others. And the reason I want to do this is because if you're like me, I found out that as I was moving along with God and my heart was toward God, God was often processing me into more than I understood.
Amen.
How many of you know sometimes the mind catches up with the heart?
Yes.
And I want to share some things that may help us understand what the Lord's doing in this hour, at least in my little understanding. 1 Corinthians 3. And my point being, God by wisdom founded the earth. There's the creation. But Paul also tells us about a new creation that's coming forth. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 10. Paul said, well, let me just get verse 9. Here's the context. He says to the believers, "Ye are God's building, and according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay, come on, than that which is laid, other than Jesus Christ. So Paul describes himself as one in whom God had found faithful. God had graced him and given him not only ability, but Paul said, I as a wise master builder, amen. And I want you to know it takes wisdom to build. If I were to ask you at this very moment, what are you building for the Lord? Could you answer that? See, some of us don't know. We know God's at work, but we're not sure what he's doing. But Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, have laid a foundation. And there's a superstructure going up on that foundation. And that foundation, of course, was Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us have to have that as our foundation. We can't expect God to take us on into deeper things, higher things, wider things, height, breadth, length. And we can talk about all of that. But if Jesus Christ is not the foundation upon which your life is being built, it will come to nothing. Jesus tells us the story, not if the storms come, but when they come. When the rains fall, you better be sure that your house is built on the right thing. He said, because two heard the word, but they responded differently. Both of them heard the word, but one built his house on the sand. But the other built his house on the rock. It takes a little time to get down to the bedrock of a thing, to a foundation. Amen. I remember when we lived in Kentucky, we had just moved, and I was walking around in the neighborhood, and I noticed that they were building a new house in one of the sections of the neighborhood. Do you know it literally took a month for them to lay that foundation? I mean, they kept digging down and down and down and down and down till finally they hit rock. Huh? It took a month to put the foundation in, but probably only a few weeks to put the whole house up. By the time the superstructure is going up, it is an evident, beloved, that something's touched rocks, touch that which is firm and solid, amen, in our life. And sometimes God allows our lives to come to naught so that he can say, I need to put some pilings in. I need to put your life on that which is solid, amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are we finding that out today, beloved? You're looking out in the world, you're looking on the economy, you're looking on news reports, you're looking on this report, that report, and you're going to discover if you're not on the rock, then you're not going to be able to stand when the winds come and the rains blow. All right, now, Paul said that he was a wise master builder. Wisdom is not only knowledge. We need to understand that. Wisdom is not only knowledge. You can have all the knowledge. I say I can have a list of things and gather all the parts, but may not have the wisdom to put it together. Wisdom is not only knowledge, but wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. It is the track upon which knowledge runs. That's what wisdom is. It is the track upon which knowledge runs. Now stick with me, because I'm laying a little foundation here for what I want to share as I feel God's given us this morning. God is building an edifice. God is building a building. And I want you to look with me to Zechariah. That's what God is doing right now, beloved. God is building a building. God is getting himself a house. Amen. God even came down one time in the Old Testament and said, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build for me? Paul said in Acts and chapter 17 there, know you not that God does not dwell in houses built by men or by men's hand? Then what is God doing? What is the building that God is building? That's what I'm trying to ascertain this morning. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Are you there? And verse 12. Zechariah speaking prophetically. And he spoke unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Don't miss that. We're hearing a lot about temple of the Lord over here in the east. Some temples coming up over here. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But I want you to know it's not what God's building. Amen. Notice what it says here. I'm reading from the scriptures. Behold the man. And we get a first clue there. Whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, And he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now that's a mouthful right there. Zechariah prophesied that there was one coming forth. He's a man. And he's going to build his temple, and he shall be called the branch, because he's going to branch out in all the earth. Hallelujah. But he is going to build the temple, and he is going to bear the glory, and he alone is going to sit on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's going to bear between the throne, the priestly ministry, and a kingly ministry. Yeah. How many of you know that's a Melchizedek order?
Amen.
How many of you know Jesus Christ is that man?
Amen.
How many of you know he said, I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And he is both king and priest. Amen.
Amen.
Unto God. Well, you and I are too, but only in the sense of our expression through him. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm just laying a little groundwork here because I know sometimes people come into meetings like these and we sense the presence of the Lord, and sometimes we assume things when we're sharing with other people that people are further along in their understanding than they are. And I don't want to presume this morning. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:20. I'm just still dealing with this fact that God is building an edifice. Ephesians 2:20. This is the words of the Apostle Paul, that wise master builder. This is the revelation God gave him. And ye, the household of God, you see the verse 19 in the context, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself, say himself, being the chief cornerstone. How many of you know that the religious leaders didn't recognize this cornerstone? I was sharing with our brother this morning as we sat at the table. The Bible says that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner. You know, religion has a way of blinding us, doesn't it?
Yes.
The rules and the rituals and the regulations, the do's and the don'ts and the ought to's and the shoulds.
That's right.
Of religion. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
There is a perfect law of liberty, amen?
Yes.
But it's truth, amen? It's not just, it's not about ordinances. But the religious leaders, in their haste and zeal for their religion, missed a relationship because it wasn't about a program that God was bringing forth. It was about a person. And so they took the stone which God had brought forth to be the very head of the capstone, the very chief and the cornerstone of the building, and they turned it over from side to side, and they said, that doesn't fit into our scheme. That doesn't fit into our program. We're going somewhere else with this thing, and this stone isn't what we have in mind. And so the stone which the builders rejected, God picked it up and said, hey, folks, that's the thing I'm going to lay as the cornerstone for what I'm doing. And so it says here, we're built upon that chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, in whom all the building, don't miss that either, by the way. It didn't say buildings, plural.
Right.
Hallelujah. How many of you know God has one building? Amen.
Yes.
In the mind of God, he sees one building. Amen. He doesn't see you and I, though we've come from various backgrounds and perhaps various streams. He doesn't see us as many buildings. Hallelujah. Though we're many dwellings for the Lord, he sees us as one building for the Lord.
Amen.
Are you there? Hallelujah. And in whom the building fitly framed together groweth, say groweth, unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. I believe that God's jealousy and hand has been on so much of what has been structured in our land and that we call the church. Oh, that's my church, we say. Well, that's just the sheep shed where God happens to happen, maybe. Amen. But here's the church. Here's the house of God. Amen. And God is building you and I. God is building you and I as his edifice that he might inhabit us, that he might indwell a people, not a building, a people for himself, for all eternity. Even John saw in the book of the Revelation, he saw that city coming down from heaven. And that word was, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them. And he shall live in them. Amen? Now we've got to get this right, beloved. Because structures can come and structures can go as far as the physical outworking. But what God is building and what God has always had in mind, he said even in Exodus 25 and 8. Let them build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them.
Yes.
You know that's one of the most powerful things that we could ever realize. That God ordained and created us, that he might inhabit us, that he might dwell in us, that he might have his living and move and have his being in us.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. And we live beneath our means. See, we often say, well, I'm going to church because it's Sunday or Wednesday or whatever, when the church ought to come together.
Amen.
When the place where God has already been dwelling during the week ought to come together so that God might manifest His glory and radiate and appear in and through a people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews, one more on this line. Hebrews 3, 4 through 6. Hebrews 3, 4 through 6. Brother Jack was talking about Moses last night and Moses and God's wonderful message on God's instrument. But here we find Moses again comes into the picture, but in this context as a type of what Jesus Christ was going to do and be. Hebrews 3, verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things," come on, "is God." How do you know that which is invisible is really that which is the permanent? When you read the book of Hebrews, he constantly goes back. That which was the shadow gives way to that which is the true substance. Amen? That which was the type gives way to the antitype. That which was the forepicturing gives way to the full expression. And what God is doing in this hour is just this. God is building all things for himself. "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony." Don't miss that. "For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house," watch this, "whose house we are." Is that in your Bible? "If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope." What's that hope? Huh? The rejoicing of the hope. If there's a condition, amen. I'm not so much worried about eternal security as false security.
Right.
Hello? And we've got to be careful about this because here the writer to the Hebrews says, there is a rejoicing of the hope if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And when he talks about the end, he's not just thinking about the end, but as far as God wrapping up his intention, that's another story. But this hope of glory is that the glory of God in you might be fully manifest. Amen. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. But how many of you know you in Christ is the glory? Paul says in Colossians 1, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." He says in Colossians 3, "When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you shall be revealed with him."
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
In glory.
Yes.
And I'm just repeating some things here, beloved. I just feel such a concern that God's people, sometimes we can have such ideas floating around in our head, amen, but we never see the practical import of what God's doing in our life. Amen. If you're finding your comfort zone being challenged, if you're finding you can't play church anymore, if you're finding the Bubba Bashundai and what you used to do ain't doing, it's not a sign that you're backslidden. It may be a sign that you're growing up in Him. Come on now. I'm not against speaking in tongues. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I think I speak in tongues every day. But you hear what I'm saying? God's after a purpose, and He's not going to rest until that purpose is accomplished. Well, of all God's grand designs, none is greater than that design in you and me. That's a mouthful. Of all God's great designs, of all of the heavenly work, the heavens have declared His glory, and we have seen in the heavens, and we've seen in His creation His attributes and His nature and His splendor and His majesty. Of all that God has created, there's no greater design than what He's doing in you and me. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. That word, in one sense of the word, workmanship, means masterpiece. Out of all the things that God has created, out of all the things that God has done, out of all of His handiwork and work, that you and I are God's masterpiece because He's creating us anew and afresh in Christ Jesus. That's the edifice that God's after. Hallelujah. So God's building's not made with brick and mortar. I won't turn you up to it. I'll just read it. 1 Peter 2:5. "Ye also are lively stones, and you're being built up into a spiritual household." Amen. Now, one of the problems is when we hear about God building an edifice, our immediate response is to begin to look around in our little circle of fellowship and say, well, I don't know how God's going to pull it off. God, I know about her. I mean, you know, and him. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Listen, Paul said that we're no longer to know Christ after the flesh. What God is building, the lively stones that he's taking, he's building by his Spirit, by his love. He's bringing us together, and we're beginning to recognize the building in one another and how each stone fits together by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Amen. And that's why we need discernment in this hour. We don't necessarily need discernment. You see, so often we come to the book of the Revelation and we say it's the revelation of the Antichrist. Well, we don't say that in words. But that's generally the import of most of these fine interpretations we have. We want to show you who the Antichrist is. But I remind you, in the book of the Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John saw him on a throne and he was perfectly content to say that one sat on the throne and everything about what was taking place was radiating out from the throne, the voices, the noise, the activity. Heaven is responding to earth because there's a man that sits on the throne today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If you believe that, you could go home and sleep better than you've slept in years, huh? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, while it is true that God is building an edifice, it is equally true to say that you and I are building an edifice for the Lord. Huh? Let's balance this thing out. You know, we can just leave it. Well, God's doing it. Bless God. No. While it is equally true that God is building an edifice in you and I, it is also equally true to say that you and I are building an edifice for the Lord. Now, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Are you still with me?
Yes.
How many of you love the Word this morning? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 through 16. Well, I read some of it. Let me just finish reading Paul's thought here. 1 Corinthians 3. And Paul, of course, we'd read that he said, "Ye are God's building. He as a wise master builder had laid a foundation, that foundation being Christ in them." And then he says here in verse 12, chapter 3, "Now if any man," say any man,
"Amen,
build upon this foundation." You see, there's our responsibility. Paul said, "I as a wise master builder have built," God's laid a foundation. That foundation is Christ. "But if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble." How many of you know it has to do with the quality of the material?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
According to the quality of the material, what you're going to come up with. Amen. And he says here, "Every man's work," every man's work, not nobody's going to be left out. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Hallelujah. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And so God is building an edifice, and yet you and I are in cooperation with that building. You and I have a responsibility. What are you building with? Are you building with wood, hay, and stubble? You see, most of the church in this nation is building with wood, hay, and stubble.
Amen.
Wood, hay, and stubble is what you can see above the ground.
Amen.
It's impressive. It's big. It always needs more machinery and more money to keep it going. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
I know I'm telling the truth. But gold, silver, and precious stone is that which is below the surface, that which has to be dug out of the heart of the earth. Huh? It may not be very evident now, but in that day it'll be fully manifest. And it'll be manifest by fire. Your life right now, you might be going through some fires, amen? And it might be manifesting the work in your life. It might be telling whether it's really gold or silver or just fool's gold. Come on. Or alloyed silver. Come on. But God's testing his people as he's building. God doesn't, listen to me, God didn't bring you here for this hour so that you could go back home and build with inferior material.
Amen.
Settle for less than what God has said about you. Hallelujah. I want to stir your pure mind for righteousness. You're somebody. Somebody in God. He never deals with you except that he deals with you in his Son. God don't make no junk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if I'm going to build with God, then I'd better be sure I have God's wisdom in the building. Psalm 127, 1 and 2 says, "Except the Lord," now watch, I'm going to show you these two things go together. "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor." Wait a minute. God's building a house, yet they that labor. I mean, you see both things there. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor but in vain. Except the Lord keep the watch, hello, yeah, they that waketh but in vain. It's vain to rise up early and go to bed late if God isn't in the whole business. Amen? We are co-laborers with Him in this whole process. And so I've got to make sure I'm dealing with God's plan and God's wisdom. Now, here's the thing I want to get to. Wisdom is only found in one place and one place only. It's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, He has been made unto us wisdom from God.
Amen.
Righteousness, redemption, sanctification. Why? So that he that boasts has no boast in himself.
Amen.
But everything about it, he can say it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord is the doer of all things in your life. Amen? For we are working out our salvation, beloved. Yes, it's there, but there's a working out of it. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because God is at work in you,
yes,
both to will and to perform of His good pleasure. You see how that works? That's why it's a no-sweat deal. It's just about submitting to His dealings. It's a no-sweat deal, but we got to submit to His dealings. Amen? Because God is at work in you. And he who's begun a good work in you, come on, he's going to complete it, he's going to perfect it, he's going to bring it to a full maturity,
hallelujah,
even until the day of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So what I've really got to learn to do, if he is my wisdom, and which means he has become my mind, I've got to learn to flow with him. You see, one translation, and this is so important, and you please bear with me as I lay this just a line upon line here. I want us to see something. Fenton Farrar translates this passage concerning Jesus being wisdom from God, a philosophy from God. Does that do anything for you? Let me help you here. What's a philosophy? A way of life. You show me how a person lives, I'll show you what their philosophy is. Jesus Christ was God's wisdom, God's way of life. A way of life came from heaven into the earth realm so that he might demonstrate, as in heaven, so on earth.
Yes.
A wisdom from God. Are you living in that wisdom? Are you living in the earthly wisdom? A wisdom that's from beneath rather than a wisdom from above. You see? See, Christ wants to be your all in all. He wants to be your way of life. You can't have anything, if you understand this in the true sense of the word, anything outside of God is death.
Amen.
Anything outside of God is death. Because in Him is life. In Him is strength. In Him is wisdom. In Him is righteousness. In Him is redemption. In Him is sanctification. Anything outside of Him is death.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why Paul could say, even though in his body, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Because God said, my strength is perfected in your weakness. And so God sometimes allows us to go through dealings that bring us low, that bring us to nothing, to bring us to zero. Come on. Sometimes we feel like we're so low, we're like someone said, swinging our legs off a dime. We're just so low. But sometimes God brings us to that place, beloved, so he can show us where the true resources lie.
Amen.
And they're only found in him.
Amen.
If you know it's true, say amen.
Amen.
Now God sent in the person of Jesus Christ, I say, a way of life. That's why John says in John 1, the word who was with God became flesh. Became flesh. Became what you and I are. Took on the form of humanity. Hello.
Amen.
To show us a way of life. Amen. A better life. A higher life. Amen. God's order. Because that mystery was hid until Christ came into the earth. That mystery was hid. The mystery of godliness. That God wrapped himself in flesh. And I want you to know the mystery of godliness happens every time a man or a woman turns to the Lord. That mystery of godliness happens again. That God inhabits flesh. And all over again, that mystery of godliness is beginning to work. But he's working in a many-membered man now. That mystery of godliness. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody shake your head and say, Lord, help me hold some of this in. Christ was God's answer, both to redeem and restore mankind into the eternal purposes of God. Amen? Now, if you're going to build with God, you're going to have to understand his eternal purposes. Amen?
Yes.
Take time this afternoon to read just Ephesians 1. And there you have it, God's eternal purpose. You have it all stated there. It's a lot to hold, but there it is. If you're building in any other way other than according to the eternal purposes of God, you're going to be defeated. There will come a day you'll be challenged on the ground on which you're living. I don't know if we can understand this. Amen? If you're living for riches, or you're living for wealth, or you're living for success, or you're just living from paycheck to paycheck just to get me out, I mean, you're existing to live and living to exist, you're going to come up empty. Amen? But God's eternal purposes, I'm building according to God's eternal purpose in my life. I'm cooperating with God. God's building an edifice. I'm a living stone, a lively stone He's putting into that edifice. Then I'm going to understand something of His purpose. Romans 11:36, we often take out of context because, you know, in our Bibles, they divide them between chapters and so forth. That wasn't in the original, by the way. So we quote Romans 12:1 without the context of Romans 11:36. Let's look at that for a moment. Praise the Lord. Romans 11:36. And I want to flow right into Romans 12:1 to show you what God's up to. The purposes of God. Romans 11:36 and 12:1. Are you still with me? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, let's get the context. Chapter 12:1. I beseech you therefore. If you're going to interpret the Bible right, I've got to know what the therefore is there for. In light of the fact that of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, that it might be to the glory of God, in light of that fact, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, that you might prove what is that. Come on. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That's why we're being renewed in our mind, to understand what that purpose was. See, often we stop for of Him and through Him. We stop right at redemption. We're so redemptive conscious. We've had preached to us for so long, just redemptive conscious. You know, God sent Jesus to save you, and we stop there. And we would just say, through Him. Well, bless God. Amen? But how about to Him? Back into the purposes of God. I said this before at this camp. Let me say it again. When Adam fell in the garden, God didn't say plan B. God just had a plan. Let us make a man, amen, in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule and have dominion and multiply and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. And so often we see the fall and we see the redemption and there we stop. And we don't realize God has eternal purposes in mind. Hallelujah. Brother Jack mentioned that last night. I'm going to go into it, but praise the Lord. It's got to be for His glory. Amen. Are you living for His glory? Amen. Are you living with that hope of glory in you? And there's coming a day that the full manifestation of what He's been doing in secret is going to be revealed open for all to see. Hallelujah. Number three. And this is the last heading I'd like to give. To gain that wisdom, it will mean a diligent seeking after Him. To gain that wisdom, it will mean a diligent seeking after Him. Not seeking another doctrine. Not seeking another teaching. Not seeking another experience. Hello, somebody. Amen. I mean, you know, when you get Him, you'll get another doctrine, another teaching, another experience. For so long, we've been seeking another thing. And so I've been in this. And so I no longer feel comfortable with that because God's made me uncomfortable. I find another thing. I get in that. I think this is it. And then when God has done that, I get a little more uncomfortable. And so I get into this. And it is true that God does pour His wine from vessel to vessel. Hello? But it's still His wine. Wisdom have mingled her wine together. Hallelujah. Setting the table. Are you there? But what I'm saying is, in all of your seeking and all of your getting, get wisdom. That's what Proverbs tells us. Get wisdom. Amen? And but we'll never be short. All right. I want to go to just on this thought here. Matthew chapter 12. I'm wrapping this down to one point I want to get to. All that was prelim. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Chapter 12 of Matthew. Matthew 12. And then my point I made here simply was that to gain that wisdom, which is from God, it will mean a diligently seeking after Him. Now, Jesus is speaking here to the religious leaders because they had rejected God's manifestation in the earth. For He was Emmanuel, God dwelling with us, tabernacle, speaking, living, breathing, touching, delivering, healing, raising, living this thing out before men. They had rejected that, and Jesus says this word when they asked him for a sign. They asked him for a sign. He said, there ain't going to be but one sign for you as a generation. It's the sign of Jonah. Even as Jonah was in the heart of the well, the belly of the well for 3 days and nights, so the Son of Man is going to be in the heart of the earth. That's the only sign they were going to get as a generation. Are you there? And then he says this. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and they shall condemn it. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What is Jesus saying? It's my point about wisdom. It's my point about wisdom here. The Ninevites were a wicked city. I mean, their headlines would have read like our headlines today. Capital crime, murder, violence, cruelty, killing of the innocent, babies, you name it, they had it. But God sent a prophet down to them by the name of Jonah, even though he was reluctant to go, and that's another subject in itself. But by the time he got down there, the whole city repented at the preaching of Jonah, and all Jonah says, you got 40 days to change. My Lord, we've had 200 years. And all he preached, one little sermon to Nineveh, repent or you're dead. Yeah? And they did repent. They responded to the revelation of God's judgment. And even though his judgments were about to be poured out, he manifested himself in mercy when they repented. It's that way today. Now, that was a Gentile nation. Hello? Now, he said to that generation of Jews, who were the religious ones, who had the covenants and promises, and yet they didn't realize, he said, Nineveh, a Gentile nation, repented at the word. And then he goes on again and talks about the queen of the south. It was the queen of Sheba, huh? She was from Africa. You do a little research. So a Gentile nation repented, and a Gentile ruler was converted when they responded to God's wisdom, God's philosophy, which was coming forth. Now, I want to take just the last remaining time to talk about that. Jesus uses the queen of Sheba. Let's go quickly to 1 Kings 10. And I'll just stay right here in this. Praise the Lord. Is this helping this morning? Amen. We're here to do good. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 10. Here we have that story. Now, for those of you who are Bible study students and diligent, I would simply say when Jesus refers to a certain incident, you know, he just gives a capsulated nugget about that. You need to go back and see what Jesus was talking about. And he talks about the Queen of Sheba here, the queen of the south, and I want to just look at this because it does have to do with what God's doing right now. It's a prophetic picture for us. First Kings 10, I'll read it, and then we'll just cover some of the points and we'll be through. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, Solomon's name, by the way, means peace or peaceful. Huh? Concerning the name of the Lord, she heard of the fame of Solomon, concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and with very much gold and precious stones. And when she had come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Oh, hallelujah. And Solomon turned her all her questions. He answered all her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, in the meat of his table, in the sitting of his officials or servants, and the attendants of his ministers, or those who stood as his servants, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and they that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, a very great store, and precious stones, there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. I'll just drop down to verse 14 for the sake of time. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Besides that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spices merchants of the kings of Arabia and of the country. I think I passed up what I wanted. Verse 13 is really what I wanted. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. She turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now there's a lot there, and I don't want to try to develop it all. I just want to give you just some basic points here, and then you can meditate on them. First thing, Jesus says that the Queen of the South is going to rise up on that day of judgment, and she's going to condemn those who saw, even what the prophets prophesied, what the prophets longed to look into. Here was the one manifest in the flesh that the prophets had prophesied. All the prophets converged in this, that this is the one that came to take away sins. Huh? That's what they all converged on. This is the one who came to take away sins. And so Jesus said, the Queen of the South. Well, why? Because she did something about what she was hearing. That's the one point that Jesus was making. The one point he made about those who would rise up on that day of Nineveh, they did something about what they were hearing. You cannot just hear, beloved. Don't be a forgetful hearer. You've got to be a doer of that word. Amen. You've got to respond to what you're hearing. Now, even though in her heart she said, nah, can't, or in her head she said, can't be, there was something in her heart saying, there's something real, something that's happening that I need to get down there and see. Now, she was a ruler. She was over people. She had a kingdom, if you please, but there was something about this kingdom that wasn't true of her kingdom. I'm going to give you just these three things. Number one, she brought him gifts. She brought him gifts, spices and gold and precious stones. That's the first thing we see. She comes with a train bringing unto Solomon. And he's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the King of Peace. Amen. Solomon's name means peace. David was a type of the Lord in terms of his warfare and activity, but Solomon is a picture of the Lord in his peaceful reign. And when she comes to Solomon, she doesn't come empty-handed, but she comes bearing gifts. Hallelujah. That's another subject. Look at Psalm 72, 10 and 15. I'm not going to turn to it. Psalm 72, 10 and 15, if you're taking notes. There's the prophetic type there. Kings are going to come to thy rising. Hallelujah. Number two, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She communed with him. She fellowshiped with Solomon. I don't know how long it took, but they weren't in a hurry. She sat down in Solomon, and she poured her heart out before him. She communed of all that was in her heart. Hallelujah. How many of you know God doesn't have a busy signal? Hallelujah. How many of you know that we have boldness to enter in? Amen. We have access into His presence. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Number three. And this is the most magnificent thing about it. She saw the glory and the magnificence of His kingdom and the peaceful reign of Solomon. That's what she saw when she got there. Huh? She was coming in disbelief, and yet her heart was still being drawn out. And so she came with gifts and things to bring to Solomon. She sat in his presence, but not only did she sit in his presence, she saw something. She saw the glory of his magnificent kingdom. She saw the glory. Huh? It was a sevenfold glory. The Bible says, and we've already read it, she saw, first of all, she saw his wisdom. She saw his wisdom. It says he answered all her heart. Does that do anything for you? As we talk about what God is doing in this hour? He answered all her heart. Not just the questions. He answered all her heart. There was nothing that Solomon left unknown of her heart. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, now I know in part, but then there's coming a day that I'm going to fully know, even as I'm known. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's going to be part of the glory. That's going to be part of being revealed in the glory, that we're going to have not just questions that we might answer, but they're going to be questions we won't even care to answer once we've gotten a glimpse of the glory of the Lord and his the honor of His excellent kingdom. Hallelujah. And there's going to come a face-to-face knowing, even as we are known of the Lord. He answered all her heart. Not only that,
it says, when she saw the house which he had built. I think personally this was speaking of the house of God. Maybe it had to do with the palace as well. And no doubt in just the natural history she would have saw that as well. But I'm thinking of the house of God that she saw. When she saw the house of God that he had built. You say, what was it about that house? Not only the magnificence of it, not only the gold, which is a picture of God's character and glory and grace, but do you know something about that house? It came together without noise or sound. Do you know every stone that was put into that building had been quarried somewhere in the wilderness? Had been quarried somewhere in the backside of some place? The work had been done out there, but when it came together, it was fitly framed. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
I believe God's doing some quarrying in the lives of his people right now.
Amen.
I believe some of us are on the backside of the desert. Some of us are in the wilderness place. Some of us don't like the chisel that's upon our life and the hammer is still. And we hear the saw and the buzz saw going. And God's trimming us down to size. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
But he's shaping us up that he might fit us into his divine plan. And I'll tell you what. Here's a warning for you. If you don't acknowledge what God is doing in your life and what God's doing around you, you're going to be looking for one of these days. And you're going to realize it came together silently. You're going to realize that God didn't need... You see, the kingdom doesn't come by observation. Hallelujah. The kingdom's within you. It's within you. I said it's within you. And God's doing something. What was in you is going to be worked out. Amen. And he's bringing a people together. Have you felt something of the bringing together, Lord? Just this weekend alone. I thought, my, we took off the first night and we haven't stopped yet. You sense the love of the Lord and the grace and the Spirit of the Lord as he's bringing his people together. And suddenly we just look around and we recognize we be brethren.
Yes.
We belong to what God's doing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, number three. Got to move on here. She saw the meat on his table. Oh, hallelujah. That impressed her. That was part of the glory. She saw the meat that was on his table. Are you recognizing that there's an appetite within you for some meat in this hour?
Yes.
And have you discovered that there's meat that you don't even know about? Jesus said, I've got meat that you don't even know about. I can't tell you everything I want to tell you, but when he has come, the Spirit of truth, he's going to guide you into all truth. And he shall take of mine and make it known unto you.
Yes.
God's getting us off of pablum. He's getting us off of milk. Yes. Amen. No longer have to, someone said, part the whiskers to put the bottle in. Glory to God. He's giving us teeth. Amen. We want something in God. Song of Solomon said that he brought me to his banqueting house. Amen. Brought me to his banqueting table. And his banner over me was love. Hallelujah. Paul said in Ephesians 4:14, strong meat belongeth to them that are mature. That's the only one it belongs to. You wouldn't give a piece of steak to a baby. Hello? But strong meat belongs to those who are mature, those who God is bringing into maturity in him. Their appetite's changing. She saw the meat on the king's table. Hello? Appetite's changing. Your appetite's changing. Amen? Have you discovered, though you love Jesus as much as you've loved him, there's still this hunger to know him all the more? You're seeing some meat put out on the table. Amen? Praise the Lord. Fourthly, she saw the sitting of his servants, his officials. Hallelujah. Now, you say, what's so strange about that? Just this. Servants and officials don't normally sit. Oh, she saw another glory, huh?
Uh-huh.
How many of you know we're seated with him in heavenly places?
Yeah.
How many of you know that we're called to reign with him? Amen. In heavenly places? Hello, somebody. She saw the seating of his officials. She saw the seating of his servants. They're sharing in this kingdom. There's a people that are going to share in this kingdom. There are people who are training for reigning. Amen. They're learning how to sit on the throne, how to exercise some authority justly and righteously. Number five, she saw also the standing of his ministers in their apparel. And I'll just make this comment here. We are called to stand and be clothed in his righteousness, not having a righteousness of our own.
Right.
Paul said that I might be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. We can talk about the garments, but God's adorning his people to where when we stand, come on, and when we minister, we don't minister in our flesh. We minister in him. We minister in his life. Amen. Well, if in him is life and I am in him, then his life ought to flow through me and through you. Amen. Because it's his righteousness. Praise the Lord. His cupbearers. His cupbearers. I like that. You know, the cupbearer was the one who provided to the king. He ministered to the king. Amen.
He often, just in the history, he tasted the things before they were given to the king. Amen. Hallelujah. God doesn't mind us tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Amen. But David said in the psalm, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me?" Do you know what he finally decided? "I can only give God back what he's given me, so I'm going to offer him the cup of thy salvation." Hallelujah. See, God only wants out of your life what he's put there. David said, "I'm going to offer him the cup of salvation." She saw his cupbearers. Hallelujah. And there were many, not just one. All right. Number 7. Oh, let me just say this. I gotta say this point. God wants to drink from your life. God wants to drink from your life. Amen. He's pouring into you. Is that too much to think about? There's something he wants from you. We think, "Oh God, what do you have for me?" There's something he wants from you. You're the cup of the Lord, amen, that he wants to offer up. Jesus drank the dregs. Come on. He took our cup. Amen. There's a cup. Hallelujah, the offer of the Lord. All right. Lastly, she saw the ascent by which he went up. One translation says she saw the burnt offerings. She saw the sacrifices that were being made. She saw the way by which he went up. How do we go up? How do we ascend unto the Lord? Worship. You want to ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Worship. You want something of the heaven to come down and touch earth? Worship. Thou, O Lord, art holy, who inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. He enthrones himself where his people show up. She saw the ascent. She saw the going up of the Lord. And you too will see the ascending. You too will experience the ascending as you worship before the Lord. Amen. But don't worship without blood. Your worship is no good without the blood. Amen. We enter in by the blood of the Lamb. These things are made available by the blood. And there's a bloodless Christ that's being preached today. And it's no Christ at all. It's a false Christ. Without the blood, there's no victory. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness. Without the blood, there's no overcoming. Don't try to worship without the blood. We enter in by the blood of the Lamb. Forever there's going to be the Lamb slain, as if slain upon the throne. Then we worship unto the Lord. All right. Let me just wrap this down here. Her testimony. This is why Jesus said, "In that day she's going to rise up." Because her testimony said, "I came in unbelief. I didn't believe it. But when I got here, not even the half was told." And the Bible says when she saw these things, there was no more spirit in her. I like that. Amen. And when you realize what God is after, there's no more spirit in you either. Who is worth these things? John looked up and saw the glorified Christ in all of his glory, and he fell at his feet as dead. Jesus had to come and touch him. Maybe he'd have stayed there if he didn't. But that's what God does in your life and mine. When you really see him, beloved, for who he is, when you really see what God is building in you and in me, that glory, that hope of glory, when you really see him in his majesty and what he's made available, you too will fall at his feet as dead, because only his life in you is what he wants to raise up. Amen. Maybe death has to work in you so that his life too can be manifest. All right. I close. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many of you love the Lord?
Amen.
There's a real corollary. I'll only give it to you in Scripture. You look it up. Isaiah 60, 1 through 4. When the queen had asked Solomon all her hard questions, and he had opened her heart, opened her understanding, he gave her of everything she asked. Nothing was lacking. The Bible says she went back to her own country. You read Isaiah 61 through 4, it says, "Arise and shine. Thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And what's happening? Kings are coming to the brightness of thy rising. What does God have in mind for you and I? That the glory of the Lord would rise upon his edifice. The glory of the Lord would be seen in all of his splendor, so that kings and nations should turn and come. Hallelujah. Oh, much more could we say. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord. There's a responsibility in this thing. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands and worship the Lord a little bit. Father, we love you this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor right now, Lord. We bless you. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy to receive all glory. Worthy to receive all honor. Worthy to receive all power. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, to the only wise God, hallelujah, be glory and honor and majesty, hallelujah, forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. 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 Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus. 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 Pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, we receive your word this morning. I ask that you'll hide that word in my heart, in my spirit. And Father, that you'll not let the enemy of doubt or fear or unbelief steal this seed that you've sown. But Lord, that it will bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, till you get a full harvest. Work your will in me. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue to submit to your Holy Spirit and your word until you work your grace in my life, that I might be a lively stone set in your building by your love. And I thank you that you're determined not to let me go until you finish what you've begun in me. Let's thank him right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. Glory. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we ask you, Lord, for your blessing upon the food and that which has been provided. We thank you for those who are laboring and working, Lord God, to make it ready. We thank you for their servants' hearts. Father, we ask a special blessing upon them. We sanctify it to our use and ourselves to yours. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.